Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Now, we are naturally inclined to behave certain ways. It makes me think of Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I'm doing, I do not understand. I mean, it's simple, right? I do this, simple. But when I put the two together, it changes direction. Why? There's something inside of me that says, we're not going to do it that way. So when it comes to living a godly life, that which I'm doing, I don't understand, for I'm not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. So our fleshly nature works within us. Remember our verse, the end of the last semester, maybe beginning of this semester, Galatians 5:16 says, but walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. That which I'm doing, I don't understand. That's why we had this series this year. Today's the last message in the series about victorious Christian living. It's not enough for us to seek to live our lives for Christ, because it just doesn't, I can't do it. We must also, it's not an either or, it's a both and. We must let Him live His life through us. And that's done by walking in the Spirit. So we put together this, maybe a couple slides, Brian. Yeah, right there. So he said, walking the Spirit is I'm constantly, daily, every moment, I'm seeking to recommit my life to His control, the Holy Spirit's control. And I'm reappropriating His power. I'm living my life for Christ. I'm letting Him live His life through me. The first step is obedience. The second step is trusting. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm to work out my salvation in fear and trembling. Why? Because He's working in me for His good pleasure. There's a working out, a working in. There's recommitment, reappropriation. There's obedience, there's trust. It's both and. It's not either or. I must live my life for Christ. I must let Christ live His life through me in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we finish up today. We've been looking, the last two, at the results of victorious Christian living. We looked at our walk with Christ. As we let the Holy Spirit fill us and control us and empower us, we manifest the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at one fruit, love, the summation of all the various fruits. And then at the beginning, we looked at our ministry, our work for Christ. As we're under His control, He will manifest His power through us. So this one, this last talk actually goes with that one, but we got them out of order because we had a friend that could come share with us that day. So today we're looking at spiritual gifting. And it's easy to remember the passages for spiritual gifts. 4:4, 12:12. Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Romans chapter 12. Those are the four passages. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12. So I have it on the screen. Just follow as I read it here for us. Verses 4 through 9. And he's using an analogy here. Same analogy as in 1 Corinthians 12. For just as you and I have many members in one body, like I have a hand, I have two hands, I have a couple feet, and all the members do not have the same function. So my eyes see, my ears hear. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace, and that's a big theme when it comes to gifts. You'll see it again in 1 Peter chapter 4. Given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving and his teaching in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Well, I like to arrange these seven gifts in this passage, in this triangle. Did you receive the little piece of paper? This is actually a quiz. Okay? You're going to fill it out in just a moment. I'm going to have some people help me. They'll come up here in just a moment. But look how this works. Down at the bottom, teaching usually focus, those who have the gift of teaching, they focus more on information and less on application. It's not belittling, it's just their specialty. Exhortation, they're good at teaching, but they focus on the application most, and then information secondarily. They go together. We want to let the Word of God master us. Excuse me, we want to master the Word of God, and we want the Word of God to master us. We need both sides of that little triangle. Then when it comes to serving, we all desire to do something for God. We need somebody to show us what we need to do. Well, those with the gift of leadership says, I think I know which direction we're to go in. You put those two together, they make a very strong triangle. Prophecy. Prophecy tends to say we get kind of full of ourselves, and someone with the gift of prophecy says, hey, you know, God is much, much bigger than you. You need to come back down to earth. Those with the gift of mercy, we feel like worms. They come along and they say, no. Listen, look how much God loves you. They go together. And then at the top of the pyramid is giving. So before we get into discovering some of the meat in these seven gifts, this is my definition of a spiritual gift. It's from God, it's through us, and it shows up for the benefit of other people. The source is God's grace. He gives us the gift, or let me say, the gifts. And it's used in the context of ministry. And it's always for the benefit of the other person. Now, rarely does a person have just one gift. It's usually a gifting. There's what I call a constellation of gifts. So my constellation, there are a couple of primary ones. I would put, I think, leadership, evangelism, which is a gift in Ephesians 4, faith. I think there's some secondary ones, teaching, speaking. Now, that's my constellation. Now, when it comes to these gifts, understand that they're spiritual enablements, not just human talents. Example. Until I became a Christian, every time I got in front of people to speak, I would stutter. Now, I stuttered a little bit as a kid, but I was able to get over that. It took a lot of practice, but I got over stuttering. But then when it was like in high school, in student government, I'd get in front of the student body, I'd start stuttering. And I just could not stop. It was a little embarrassing. I didn't care, but it's just a little embarrassing. So when I became a believer and I was asked to teach the scripture, I have never, ever stuttered when it came to teaching scripture. Now, to me, that's God's grace. I was asked to speak to my wife's family one time, a big family reunion. There were like thousands of them. It's unbelievable. I started stuttering again. And I thought, I need my Bible for some reason. So it's a spiritual, supernatural enablement. Now, so here's the question people always ask. Well, how do I know what gift I have? And for me, I have found there's a question that's asked that often pinpoints very closely how God has gifted you. So I sent a survey out to six people. If you six would come up right now, please. I see four of you right here, Pastor. Where's Donna Thompson? There's six specifically. Donna Thompson, is she here? There you are. Okay, you six. I sent out to several people, but it doesn't matter where you sit. And we're not going to do the leg thing anymore, although I'm tempted. All right, so here's the survey I sent to these six. I sent to several, but to these six, I picked these six because they represent certain gifts. I said, please answer these two questions without giving it much thought. I mean, just what first comes to your mind? How do you add most value to CIU, and what gives you the most joy in your ministry at CIU? Now, what I want you to do is on your triangle, I want you to put the name of these six in the box with the gift that you think is their primary gifting. All right, you got that? Not sarcasm is not one of them, okay. I mean, Mike, that's Hezekiah chapter 12, so. All right, prophecy, mercy. Now, by the way, it's a trick exam, so let me give you the two tricks. There's seven boxes, but only six people, right? All right, so there's definitely one box that's going to be empty. But two of the people up here have the same primary gift. So two people will be in one box, and two boxes will be empty. Okay, hurry. Now, if you get this completely right, you'll get an automatic A in your most difficult course. And that course is making your leg go clockwise. And all right, so let's start with prophecy. Here are the characteristics of someone with the gift of prophecy. They draw sharp lines between good and evil. They hurt deeply over sin, and they tend to speak out on issues of right and wrong. Which of these six up here do you think that's their primary gift? Wait, raise your hand. Verdana. Yeah, you don't know her. Raise your hand for Dr. Castor. Dr. Croteau? Dr. Rogers? Dr. Swift? I'm promoting you to doctor. Dr. McWilliams. All right. It's Trevor Castor. All right. Who got it right? Raise your hand. All right. You have a chance. Get your A for the hardest course. All right. So here's how he answered the survey. How do you add most value to CIU? He wrote, I try and create an atmosphere in the classroom that encourages critical thinking, authenticity, grace, and charity towards opposing viewpoints. My guess was teaching. So then I sent another email. It says, what's your primary and secondary spiritual gifts? He says, my primary is prophecy, secondary teaching. I did not get it correct, but I got close just by reading the answer to one question. All right, let's go to the next one, serving. What's the characteristics of somebody with the gift of serving? They see practical needs that should be met. They put the needs of others ahead of their own. They sacrifice time, effort, and money. Who up here do you think, by the way, all right, who up here has the gift of serving? All right, how many said Donna? How many said Swift? I heard that come out. All right, who has both these correct so far? All right, you filled it out ahead of time, right? Not after the fact, all right? Now I'll have to sick Mr. Castor on you. All right, here's how Dean Swift answered this survey. How do you add most value to CIU? Modeling Christ-likeness in serving. You see that? I mean, it just comes out. Serving colleagues and students, making them feel valued, heard, and loved. My guess to his spiritual gift, I put serving. I thought he had another gift in there that was stronger. Just I was biased. But when I looked, I said, no, I need to put serving by just looking at his answer. So what were your two major gifts? Serving and leadership. All right, let's go to the next one. Teaching. teaching, the gift of teaching, they organize truth systematically. They receive joy from showing others what God's word says and means. Hang on. They get irritated when scripture's taken out of context. All right. Which one up here has this gift? Who has a perfect score so far? Unbelievable. This is good. This is good, good, good. All right, let's go to the next one. Excuse me. Here's how Kevin McWilliams answered the survey. By loving and investing in students through what? Teaching the Word of God. I said, well, that's a no-brainer. It's teaching. What are your two primary? Teaching was number one. So, Dr. Croto, how do you add most value? The lectures I give are carefully crafted to impact the mind and the heart. You know, it's not just the mind, it's also the heart, but the mind came first. And to give data and to inspire transformation. My gift, teaching. His answer is teaching first, leading second. All right, let's go to the next one, exhortation. What does people the gift of exhortation, what qualities, what characteristics do they evidence? They simplify problems by giving people concrete things to do. They like to use, you guys know who this is, right? They like to use examples from their life, theirs or somebody else's, and they get frustrated when teaching is not practical. Who has this one? How many say Donna Thompson? All right, here's how she answered it. How do you add most value? Helping students work through personal issues in pastoral counseling, encouraging, keyword, students and their spiritual gifts, talking deeply with them, taking them to my house to see my Christmas tree, and other things like that. My gift, exhortation. What was her primary one? Exhortation, secondary, teaching. All right, let's look at our chart. How many are still perfect score? One, two, wait, stand up, please. That's good, that's good. All right, who's that? Is that Andrew? Oh, and Lexi, you two cheated. Yep, Kayla. Kayla's the sweetest girl on the campus. All right. Next one, leadership. These are the characteristics. They see the big picture. They know how to organize people and or programs. They handle criticism, good criticism or bad criticism. They handle it well, and with leadership, both come. They get frustrated when things don't run smoothly. Which one up here has this gift? Tyler. Okay, I was saying, that doesn't make any sense. All right, besides Tyler. All right, here's how he answers this survey. How do you add most value to CIU? I show initiative. I'm a problem solver. That's a big key. I also like to assist the president to create and maintain a healthy climate. Now, you know we put a lot of emphasis on culture. Culture changes slowly up or down. Climate goes like this. What if I announce we just got a $10 million donation? Climate on campus, boom. What if one of our favorite faculty members just passed? Boom. So climate. Leaders give attention to both culture and climate. So I thought, wow, leadership. So I emailed him, what's your primary gift? Leadership. What's secondary? Giving. So I put him on my donors list to call. All right, let's look at our triangle. Kayla, are you still perfect? Andrew and Lexi? When are you guys getting married?
December 9th.
All right, and where did you first meet each other?
It was first weekend on campus freshman year, and Aaron worked
I have the gift of matchmaking. So if you... All right, so you get me a little distracted here. All right, let's go to our chart. Mercy. We didn't have anybody with mercy that I could find. And so here's their characteristics: compassionate toward the hurting, sensitive to others' emotional needs, and attracted to those in distress. Debbie Germany, would you make a note, please, that I need to take care of? You're graduating, though, right? Huh? December. So, all right. Make a note, please, that I need to take care of them on one course of their choosing. All right. And then finally, giving. Oh, no, I can't do that anymore since I'm not going to be president. I'm so, so sorry. All right. Giving. Giving. Shares generously with those in need. Wants their gift to be made, make a strategic difference. They give sacrificially, and they get frustrated with wastefulness. All right. Now, question. Let's put the triangle up, please. Oh, yeah, right there. All right. How many with the gift of giving in here? A few? All right. How many with prophecy out in the audience? Just a few? Okay. How many mercy? A lot more? When I'm having a hard day, I need your number. Serving? How many with the gift of serving? Excellent. How many with the gift of leadership? All right. Teaching. Exhortation. All right. Let me give you a couple pointers for this summer, please. Two words. Experiment and then emphasize. This summer, involve yourself with as many ministry opportunities as you possibly can, because you only learn your gifting in the context of ministry. Remember, it's from God. It's through us, but it's through us in the context of ministry for others, for the benefit of others. And realize God may have given you more than one gift. Keep that in mind. Then emphasize, once you know your constellation, focus on your God-given strengths. Focus on your God-given strengths. That's where you have a measure of an anointing. It's where God's going to use you in a particularly powerful way. But remember, and I've tried this and it doesn't work. My wife's washing the dishes and she says, "Can you help me?" And I go, "Oh, sweetheart, I don't have the gift of service." It doesn't work, okay? So just because you don't have a gift doesn't exempt you from stepping up and leading, showing mercy, exhorting, serving. And also remember, this is very important, probably the most important thing that's to be said today. Spiritual gifting is not equated to spiritual maturity. But spiritual maturity greatly enhances spiritual gifting. Well, just one sentence to wrap up our series. May God manifest through us His fruit, His gifting, His power, as we live the victorious Christian life by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the six that are up here on stage. Lord, they're just representatives of 200 or 300 faculty and staff here at CIU and at Ben Lippin who faithfully steward the gift that You've given them for our benefit. And Father, thank You for the great value they add to CIU. Lord, thank You for our students. They're absolutely incredible. Lord, use them in a powerful way as they seek to daily recommit themselves to Your Spirit's control and reappropriate Your Spirit's power. May they manifest clearly the victorious Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.